Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Welcome to the Seed Sowing Sister Movement on the Bashani Radio App, on the Bashani website, and on all other podcast formats. I'm your lead seed sowing sister, Patrice. Thank you for joining me today. And to find out more about Patrice, connect with me at patricebrantley.com. Well, today we're getting right into the topic, the benefits and results of proper alignment. We're going to be coming out of Ezra chapter 6, verses 13 through 22. But before we jump into that, I need you to call a friend, text a friend, post it on your social media page, and make sure you share it on your page. And let everyone know that the Seed Sowing Sister is on and that she's waiting on who? You. All right. Once you've done that, make sure you grab your pencil and your paper and most definitely your Bible. But before we jump into this week's, we got to do a recap from last week. So we came right out of the king's response. And this is after we had all the busybodies aside, and they were going to try to figure out and stop the work of the Lord. And they've gotten here, and King Darius has done his due diligence and made a diligent and in-depth search of the archives back in Babylonia. And he found in Babylonia that the scroll was found in the citadel of Itabe, and it was in Media. And they found that King Cyrus, in his first year, had made a decree, an edict, saying that they must build this temple and that they were supposed to provide all the money for it. And he even had a little clause in there that said if the people tried to block the work and they didn't follow through, that they could be impaled by the poles of their own house. In other words, they had to pay what they owe, or they had to get killed and get impaled on a pole from their own home. Today, we pick up after the work has been done, and we're looking at the completion of the temple. We're going to find out what happens in that part today. All right, y'all, let's start right on in Ezra chapter 6. Then, because of the decree of King Darius, sent to Tatialiah, the governor of Trans-Euphrates, and Shethem of Bozeman and his associates carried out with diligence, so the elders of the Jews continued to build and prosper under the preaching of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah, the descendant of Edo. They finished building the temple according to the command of the God of Israel and the decree of Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes, the king of Persia. The temple had been completed on the third day of the month of Adar and in the sixth year of the reign of King Darius. Then the people of Israel, the priests, the Levites, and the rest of the exiles celebrated the dedication of the house of God with joy. For the dedication of this house of God, they offered 100 bulls, 200 rams, 400 male lambs, and as a sin offering for all Israel, 12 male goats, one for each of the tribes of Israel. And they installed the priests to their divisions and the Levites in their groups for the service of God in Jerusalem, according to what is written in the book of Moses. On the 14th day in the first month, the exiles celebrated the Passover. The priests and the Levites had purified themselves and were all ceremonially clean. The Levites slaughtered the Passover lamb for all the exiles and for their brothers, the priests, and for themselves, so that the Israelites who had returned from the exile ate it together with all who had separated themselves from the unclean practices of their Gentile neighbors in order to seek the Lord, the God of Israel. For 7 days, they celebrated with joy the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, because the Lord had filled them with joy by changing the attitude of the heart of King Artaxerxes, so that he assisted them in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. So we're going to jump right into this. So after they got all this work done, now it was time to celebrate. So they get here and you see in verse 13 that the decree of King Darius was sent down to that governor, Tatialiah and all of his friends, Shethem and Bozeman and their associates. They carried this out with diligence. So instead of them being impaled on that pole, they said, you know what? I'd rather go ahead and give y'all this money. Let y'all build y'all house to the Lord so that we don't have to die. because it was our fault and we shouldn't have been in y'all business. So I'm like, you know what? I am so happy to see that when they saw that they were wrong, they actually went and followed the orders of the king. So let's break this down. Key seed one, when these men knew that they were wrong, because death was in the front of them, they went and they followed the king's orders with diligence. How many times do you realize you might be wrong in something, but you say, you know what, I'm not really going to deal with that. I got to brush it on the rug. They didn't have a chance to brush it on the rug. If they brushed it on the rug, they would sign their death certificates. Then let's go a little further. Notice what happens when the people were properly aligned and the king, these people had followed the orders of the king with due diligence, but notice how the people prospered. In verse 14, the elders of the Jews continued to build. That means they didn't stop. They didn't let somebody's little sad little interference or distraction take them from what they were doing. They just kept continuing to build. And when they kept building, they were under the actual guidance of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah, the descendant of Edo. And they finished this building according to the command of God of Israel and the decrees of Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes. Notice this, key seed two, when the people are allowed to build and prosper and work in the way and the alignment of the Lord, you know what happens? The whole community prospers. When was the last time you seen a whole community prosper because they were under the right leadership? The right leadership puts you in the right step to build and prosper. Key seed three, by the way. And then when this temple was completed on the third day of the month of Adar in the sixth month of the reign of King Darius, we see a couple things. We see that when you're properly aligned, your task gets done. You ever had people who start a task and all of a sudden it's like, oh, we couldn't finish this. Nope. When you have the proper head over the proper leadership, that leadership is going to make sure you stay motivated. They're going to push you to get it done. They're going to remind you of your why. Even if it's daily, they're going to say, you know why we're doing this? Do you understand who this is going to impact? They constantly bring you back to that why, that mission, that vision. Then when you go to verse 16, the people of Israel, the priests, the Levites, and the rest of the exiles celebrated the dedication of the house of God with joy. What I love about it is when the task was done, then they celebrated. Here's the part we got to be so careful of as believers. As soon as we think we're halfway done, we start to go and want to get excited and share and post. We got to know that's the mark of the enemy. The enemy will do that. He'll get you so excited that before you even get the task completely done, you're out there celebrating and enjoying before it's too late, before it's too soon. And that's what he does, to get you thrown off because you haven't gotten everything in order. So I love that they literally showed us when the task was complete, just like when you were in school and your mama would say, there's a time to do your homework and then there's a time to play. So literally we got to see them finish up their work and then go celebrate. And what I love about it is when they celebrated, they first dedicated. That's the one thing. You can go and celebrate, but you got to dedicate first. They took the time to make sure to say, you know what, we finished this, but now I need to dedicate what I've given, what the Lord has given me, back to the Lord. You know how when you see people who, a great example, Hannah, let's take Hannah out of 1 Samuel. We saw Hannah praying and praying for her child. And when she got her child, she took him back to the temple to dedicate, and then she celebrated. Literally here is the same thought process. So here in their dedication to this house, they had a sacrifice. They literally gave an offering to the Lord. They gave 100 bulls, 200 rams, 400 male lambs, and as a sin offering, because they didn't just atone for themselves, they atoned for their forefathers as well. They gave 12 male goats for each of the tribes of Israel. And what I love about it is you get to see that they didn't just think about them in the now. They thought about who may have did something in back in the day, what they did at this present moment, and they even covered the children that was coming after them. They believed in legacy building. Then when we get to verse 18, they started doing something very interesting. They first took the time to celebrate, dedicate, then they installed. They took the time to install the correct priests in the divisions, the Levites for their groups. And then they took the time to make sure they were in line with the book of Moses. Then when they got into the actual celebration, in verse 19, we see that it was on the 14th day of the first month that the exiles celebrated the Passover. Remember, the Passover literally is a celebration that commemorates the story of Exodus when God freed the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. This is them basically celebrating their freedom. Like, I just, when I think about this, I think of Mr. Marley as he sings the song Exodus, and he talks about the movement of the people. And this is what this meant. These people went back and they celebrated a moment where they said, God did that. God brought me out of this. When's the last time you went to go celebrate something God had brought you out of? I'm just saying. So then when we go a little further, in verse 20, the priests and the Levites had purified themselves, and they were all ceremonially clean. The Levites slaughtered the Passover lamb for all the exiles and for their brothers, the priests, and for themselves. And just to do a little quick review on that one, remember, the Levites were a part of the tribe of Levi, but it was one of the 12 of Jacob's sons. But the priests of Israel with a group of men that were actually called out and qualified by God, who were responsible for the temple worship. Just a quick review. And then after they got here and did this, remember, key C2, God qualifies you for the assignment. What I love about it is these people were not man chosen, they were God chosen. And here's the thing, when God has chosen you for the assignment, you're going to be qualified. Even if you've never touched it before, he's going to give you Holy Spirit-led wisdom and guidance on how to do what he's calling you to do. Then I love this, key C3, which I talked about a little bit earlier. When the Levites atoned, they atoned not just for themselves, the families, the community, and that nation. When was the last time you saw someone actually atone, not just for themselves or their family, but they atone for themselves, their family, the community, and the nation? And then in verse 21, when the Israelites who remained from the exile, because remember, they're eating this Passover lamb, they ate it all together. That means when they did it together, there was a complete universal sound within what they were doing. So it was kind of like when you see in the movie, what's the movie here I'm thinking of? Where they talk about being one band, one sound. I believe that is Drumline, the movie Drumline, where the bandmaster always sits and he says, the band director, he always makes this comment, we should be one band, one sound. That's literally what they were doing in the heavenly realm as they sat down here together in this celebration. They were one people and they made one sound of joy. And then when they got there, they literally had a purpose of the celebration. They were seeking the Lord. When was the last time you got together and went to a celebration and it just wasn't a waste of time? They literally went to celebrate with a purpose. I'm loving this because as you see this, it was more and more and more aligned to what God wants us to do daily. Then in verse 22, it says this went on for 7 days. Imagine going to a really jamming party for 7 days. I mean, they cutting up all the old school. They got the hip hop. They're doing it. They having a time and they're just celebrating, overflowing with joy for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And this is where the Lord had filled them with such joy because he had changed the attitudes of the hearts of, of the king of Assyria so that they would be assigned to the work of the house of the Lord of Israel. But let's go even deeper. Let's break down the celebration. First thing we see in the celebration is the timing. This is 7 days. You remember seven is the number of completion of things. This is the celebrating the end of something. Then, and I'll give an example. The thing I thought about when we talked about celebrating, I thought about the end of 2020. When we stepped into 2021, everybody was so excited. I remember my neighborhood, people were shooting and excited, and you just hear the little children outside just rejoicing in their parents and saying, we made it through, we made it through. Literally, this was what it looked like at the end of that piece. Then when you think about it even further, they just, when you celebrate something, remember you're closing out something. And that's what I thought about it. When you think about what the children of Israel had experienced, they were closing out the spirit of depression. They were closing out the spirit of poverty. They were closing out the spirit of oppression. And they were stepping into their newness. They were no longer being oppressed. They were stepping into liberty. They were stepping into freedom, joy, happiness. All of this is what they were stepping into as they celebrated within these 7 days. And then what I loved about it, we got to see the installation of new leadership. And I love this because we got to see who's leading them. Are they getting a cookie cutter leader? Are they getting a God leader? And what I love about it, when God gives you a leader, he doesn't give you the same old, same old. He doesn't give you the person to say, oh, if you do it this way, step one, two, three, it'll work that way. No, God says, I'm giving you a leader that's designed for you. He literally was giving them God leadership. And we saw that through Haggai the prophet and Zechariah. Then I love how when all this came together, there was a set of repentance. Literally in the midst of this, we got to see a nation being repentant, not just for themselves, but for their fathers, them, and then their generations. In the midst of this, the repentance was them turning away from their old misguided ways and practices and saying, you know what, God, I'm coming to you fully. I'm running and coming to you, God, fully, completely moving into what God is saying with a repentant heart, not just saying mouth service, but literally showing actions of repentance. And then I loved about it when you look at it even further, we went from the timing, the leadership, to repentance. Look at the diet that they were having. Literally, they were cleaning it up. And they were cleaning up in the areas of the food, their foundation, the physical and the spiritual. And then the purpose of all of this, we see that they were seeking God. When they were seeking God, they were seeking God with joy. They were celebrating what he had already done, what he was doing in the present, and what he was going to do. And then what I loved about it is we saw the effects of seeking God. They had been changed hearts, not just with themselves, but also through the kings that they had connected with. Because we remember King Assyria was something. And literally we get to see King Assyria's heart be changed. And he started to give money, pour money into the mission of God. Let's look at the two wise words for this section. When we broke down sections, 13 through 18, the wise words was clearly when the children of Israel stood for what was right, they were able to unify, rebuild, prosper as a community with godly leadership. I want you to ask yourself today, am I standing in the right place? Am I in proper alignment? Well, when I'm standing together with my brothers and sisters in Christ, well, I'm able to unify, rebuild, and actually prosper with godly leadership. Am I lining myself up to do that? And then the second part, what I loved about it is, we got to see when you are in proper alignment, God wants you to celebrate. He don't want you stiff inside and crying. He wants you to get up there and shake a good foot. He wants you to be joyous, rejoice in his love. He wants to see you excited about the things of him. So the wise word for this section from 18 to 22 was that God wants to celebrate. He wants you to rejoice in his love with you. Yet he wants you to make sure that you are in the right timing, have the right leadership, which your leadership should be the Lord himself, a repentant heart, and a steady diet of seeking him. Man, when you do that, you don't have no way but to rejoice and celebrate and know what God is doing for you. What an amazing thing to do. So I got to tell y'all, I'm so excited. We're jumping into next week. One of my favorite topics out of Ezra chapter 7, walking in favor, grace, and goodness. Make sure you don't skip that one. That's the one I really love. Walking into favor, grace, and goodness. Make sure y'all tell a friend, honey, so they can join in and get in on it. Because we're going to talk about how we can get that favor, grace, and goodness to overflow in our lives. Well, y'all know how this goes. Let's go out and be great, because we are great and our greatness is now. It no longer awaits. You all have a great day, and I look forward to connecting with you all next week.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Stan, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcasts. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.